please stand. And believeth in me shall never die. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though this body shall be destroyed, yet shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not as a stranger. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For if we live, we live unto the Lord. And if we die, we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Even so saith the Spirit, for they rest from their labors. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, whose mercies cannot be numbered, accept our prayers on behalf of thy servant Doug, and grant him an entrance into the land of light and joy in the fellowship of thy saints, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Most merciful God, whose wisdom is beyond our understanding, deal graciously with those who grieve. Surround them with your love, that they may not be overwhelmed by their loss, but have confidence in your goodness and strength to meet the days to come. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Let us join in singing hymn number 680, O God, our help in ages past. Please be seated. A reading from the Book of Wisdom. But the souls of the righteous are in the hand of God, and there shall no torment touch them. In the sight of the unwise, they seem to die, and their departure is taken for misery, and their going from us to be utter destruction. But they are in peace. For though they be punished in the sight of men, yet is their hope full of immortality. And having been a little chastised, they shall be greatly rewarded, for God proved them and found them worthy for himself. They that put their trust in him shall understand the truth, and such as be faithful in love shall abide with him. For grace and mercy is to his saints, and he hath care for his elect. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from 2 Corinthians. So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. If indeed, when we have taken it off, we will not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan under our burden, because we wish not to be unclothed, but to be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him.
Our shepherd, our shepherd. reading from John. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That's where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way of you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
In the name of the true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you, Rick, for your gracious invitation to preach here today. I'm so grateful for your leadership, your new leadership here, and I just love what I see and feel here at Trinity. So thank you. Well, even though the Anglican Church has neither the ecclesiastical tradition nor the curial apparatus for conferring sainthood, and though I have no office or authority whatever to do so, nevertheless, I rise this afternoon to declare that Doug MacArthur is a saint. Now, like all the blessed ones, were he here today, Doug would be shaking his head and muttering, lad, you've gone crazy. But if the saints are the diaphanous ones through whom shine the light of God, then Doug was surely one. He touched our lives. He made us better, stronger, happier, more faithful, more confident, more loving. In the gospel today, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, and you know where I am going, and you know the way to get there. And Thomas says, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And I think that response is especially apropos today because Doug was cut from the same cloth as Thomas. He was a doubter, a wonderer. Doug's credo is one I have always remembered. He said it years ago, I don't know if I believe in God, but I believe in the people of God. Something happened in Doug's life, and he knew it was a grace that came from somewhere outside of himself, and since he was too much like Thomas, he couldn't glibly call it God, so he called that life-moving force within himself the people of God. Not bad theology, actually. But what happened to Doug? I've been thinking about that in the days since he died. What happened? Because Doug wasn't always like this. When I came here, I heard the stories years before how Doug could walk out of a meeting in high dudgeon. And, you know, I didn't need to hear the stories. He told me himself that... You know, I used to be a lot quicker to anger. I used to be a lot more insistent on my own way that, you know, I was right. If he had died 25 years ago, we wouldn't be here talking about St. Doug. Huh? So I wondered what happened. And it occurred to me that I only knew Doug when he was already in his 70s. And then a month after I met him, his dear wife Barbara died. So the man was going through an enormous time of transition. He was retired. He was suddenly alone. What was he going to do with the rest of his life? And something broke open his heart, which is always what does it. And I don't know what it was, but I felt it. Doug became a grandfather. And grandfathers and grandmothers, you know, are not, the kind I'm talking about, are not just created biologically, where if your kids have kids, then you become automatically become a grandfather, or grandmother. I'm talking about a spiritual transformation where you move to the level of grand. You know, some of the greatest grandfathers and grandmothers have no children of their own. This is way beyond biology. It's spiritual. Well, Doug got to the level of grand. He was a grandfather. He was one of those figures that just radiated blessing. Didn't we all just feel blessed by Doug? You know, they don't have to say anything, but a grand presence just walks into a room and everybody just feels lifted up a little. Though you don't know why. Right? Especially if there's some threat or some worry that we're all feeling. Then the grand presence just says, we've been here before in a place of trial, and God was with us. We'll be okay. The important thing is this circle, this community, together, we hold the energy for life and healing, the power to overcome. Trust it. When I came to Trinity 20 years ago, I was a little younger, and I needed a lot of grand energy. And I have to say, by the way, that I found that in a whole lot of great souled women who grandfathered me, and a whole lot of super souled men who grandfathered me. But Doug was the treasurer, and any rector will tell you that treasurers can often be little-souled people. Okay. You know, who worry the balance sheet like a neurotic Jack Russell or something. They're just... And they just infect the whole system with anxiety and worry. And of course, I had all the usual worries of a new leader in my first congregation. And when I realized that I had this man who knew all the numbers by heart, and yet who had a heart for the future, who had a heart for whatever God was calling this community to be or to become, that's the greatest gift you could give to a young priest. Well, we all felt that, didn't we? So I want to thank Doug's family for letting us crash your family, for all of us to say that Doug was our brother and our father and our grandfather. Thank you for sharing him with a much bigger family. Because I know how much you loved him, and I know how much Doug loved his children, Sandy and Joanne and Scott, and your spouses, Pierce and Malcolm and Sue. And he loved his grandchildren, Loring and Jaffrey, Corey, Aaron, Marin. And then this happened after I left, 6 great-grandchildren, right? And, you know, Scott and Sue lived with Doug for so many years and just cared for him so well. It's wonderful to have Mayor and a grandchild to keep him young and in the house as well. But the last, you know, few weeks when I visited Doug near the end of his life, Sue, you were just such a beautiful, caring presence, and so I know all of us just want to bless you for that gift today. Well, let me leave you with one of the best Doug moments of my life. A comet was making its way across the sky, was going to make a rare appearance, and Doug had been telling me for most of the week when I saw him that I had to see this. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm sure I'll do that. But I was way too busy. This is, you know, watching comets was for old men. Right? And then the night of the event, of the comet, he and I were in a meeting together, and a meeting that went kind of late, and as we were leaving the meeting, Doug said, don't forget that comet. It comes over once every 50 years. I'll be dead, he said. And now he sounded like a prophet, and I felt this urgency. So I went home. I got Pam. My kids were upstairs asleep in bed. I got them out of bed. They thought this was a fire drill. I told them it was sort of a fireball was going to go across the black night sky, and a prophet had told me that all of us had to go up and see this. So they pulled on some jackets, and we walked out the back door of what was then the rectory and up that driveway to the cemetery where the trees open up to the sky, and we looked up to the heavens, and there it was, with a fiery tail as big as a kite. So thank you, Doug, for that moment, for pointing me to that star, and for knowing that it would take more than one pointing, that I was too busy, I was too scattered, that I needed a grandfather to point me to the heavens. Rest in peace, good friend. Brother in Christ, and now that you no longer need to believe, now that is that you know God face to face, keep praying for us, the people of God. Amen. Amen.
This next song, and some folks are making their way already. If there are members of the youth group who would like to join us over here, this is a song that the youth group recorded for Doug, made a video of it, and took it over to his house a couple of months ago. And he liked it, and his family liked it, and it's going to be done right now. The words are printed in your leaflet, so in a minute or so, if you don't know it, you will. So join along. Thank you. The family has requested that we have a time of remembrance. There are more stories in this room than what time would allow to be told. But in that grand tradition that is often observed in these parts, it seems appropriate that as the Spirit may move one or more of us to share a thought, a word, a prayer, just from where you are, to stand and to offer that as a prayer, a thanksgiving, an offering to God in celebration of how Doug's life touched your life. Not inviting anyone up here because you give people a microphone and it adds to the amount of time. There's a lot of us, and so be mindful of the number of people and the number of offerings that might be made. And if you find that as someone is telling a story or saying something that resonates within you, don't feel the need to repeat it. Just say, Amen. I was recently told a story of Doug's 90th birthday when apparently a number of folks had planned to say things about him, and after the second person spoke, Doug took over. So in that spirit, I would invite you now to make your offering, your gift on this day.
The reason I wanted to be up here is because if I held this in my hand, it would... Early on, growing up with my father through the 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond, I felt Joanne, Sandy, and I were being taught not by advisement, but by example. We were shown the qualities of honesty, integrity, a deep, non-prejudiced interest in humanity, youthfulness, humor, and love. I am so grateful to have been shown this way. I want to say a few things about living with my father in his later years. 20 years ago, when Susan and I returned from New Mexico, we had a newborn daughter, and my mother died. And my dad asked and offered for us to move in with him on Aquatong Road. These past 20 years with my father were, for the most part, very joyous and beneficial for our whole family. For a morning breakfast, focusing on the newspaper, Dad would always mix a huge bowl of different cereals. Later on, this bowl was replaced by an even bigger bowl Marin had made in pottery class. Wheat Chex, shredded wheat, Cheerios, granola, and one morning, by mistake, a large portion of Friskies dried cat food. My father said, "Ah, what the heck, it's food," and ate the entire bowl. One of the most touching things over the years was to experience how close Marin and my father became. My father would have made a great geography or history teacher. What a wonderful sound to hear Marin being tutored in American or world history. I could tell they both deeply loved these times together. In the evening after dinner, my father would retreat back to his bedroom with a cup of coffee and a small bowl of cookies or a tasty cake pie. or both. Marin would say, "You know, Gumpy, maybe you should have a piece of fruit." And and Dad would respond with something like, "I'm having a lemon tasty cake pie. The fruit's right in there." Often through my father's 80s and early 90s, I would peer into his bedroom in the middle of the afternoon and see him in his chair with his reading glasses on, reading the most current books on world events or history. I was ready for a nap, and this guy is absorbing life at every waking hour. Late at night, around midnight, he would be up watching late night TV, and I would hear coming from his bedroom a loud, hearty laugh that often turned into a cough. A few years back, Mary Lou Stewart asked me on the phone something like, "Scott, is your father at home really as warm and joyous a person as he appears to us out in public? Because you don't really know, do you?" Yeah. I know how fortunate I am to be able to say this, but he was the happiest and most loving man I have ever known. And I want to thank you all for helping to create and sustain this.
And as many of you know, I think about my father, David Anderson, was Thank you. Those harmlessly quaint to me now, looking back. But the fear in Ethan was palpable. This was, at that time, it was something real, and it, I, as a boy, could sense that. But what I remember is my parents and their crowd resisted this hysteria and prejudice. They thought things out and they talked them through. That was sort of a hallmark of what I associated with that generation. And one of the things that I've taken from that generation is a lesson. Along with that, my parents served at different times on the vestry here in Trinity. When we got together socially, they talk about the rector, and they talk about other members of the congregation, people that had serious undisclosed illness, or emotional problems, or difficulties in their family relations. What could be done? How should they help? Their questions were driven by a sense of empathy, concern, and shared responsibility. It was the best of community. So their flow of conversation wound around the big issues of their times and the little problems of their lives. All of it was relevant and important, and sometimes the arguments were hotly debated, particularly when someone was involved. And sometimes discussions led to agreement and a decision to do something about it. But the one constant I find, though, that the premise that underlay all this discussion was that right and wrong truly did exist. What I learned from the conversation was a sense of relevance and responsibility. Things do matter. Whether they're major world events or personal problems, they do matter, and we share responsibility. And the other thing is, if there is a correct answer to the question, what should I do? If you get past the preconceptions and personal agendas that cloud the issues, you can understand what's the best way to address the problem and help someone. That, to my mind, is the premise upon which Christian faith resides. So conversing with others, as they did, who were like-minded, was the way to get to the right conclusion. So on the last day that I saw Doug, as I was preparing to pack my car to drive back to Boston, I said, if my mother visits you again, tell her I said hello. And Doug said he would. And something in his response told me that he was already communing with spirit.
Want to extend the opportunity for this to continue in a fashion. At the conclusion of our liturgy today, we'll make our way into MacArthur Hall. And there's a microphone. So after we've had a bite to eat, if there are stories that that folks would like to continue to tell, there'll be the opportunity to do so. I heard the bell ring, and I wondered if that was somehow Doug saying it's time to move on. I also, for a moment, had a fear in that outside there is a bagpiper whom I told that when the bell rings, you're to begin to play. And by hand motions from the back, I see that he's been alerted, wrong bell. As we turn now to say our prayers, I do so in sharing one last memory, one of mine with Doug, just a few days before he passed. Doug, as many of you know, had refused to allow himself to be put on the prayer list. He didn't want all that attention. And so just a few days before his death, I asked him once again if he would mind that he had been lifted up in prayer by this community and by his friends, and I thought it was a good occasion if he would to allow us to do that publicly. And I said, with your permission, sir, let us lift you up. And he took a breath and he said, lift me up. Lift me up. Of course, he still had it his way in that he died before we could once again gather in church to offer him up in prayer. But we will do so at this time. Let us pray together in the words our Savior Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Almighty God, who hast knit together thine elect in one communion and fellowship, in the mystical body of thy Son, Christ our Lord, grant, we beseech thee, to thy whole church in paradise and on earth thy light and thy peace. Amen. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and that through the grave and gate of death we may pass with him to our joyful resurrection. Amen. Grant to us who are still in our pilgrimage and who walk as yet by faith that thy Holy Spirit may lead us in holiness and righteousness all our days. Amen. Grant to thy faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve thee with a quiet mind. Amen. Grant to all who mourn a sure confidence in thy fatherly care, that casting all their grief on thee, they may know the consolation of thy love. Amen. Give courage and faith to those who are bereaved, that they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the comfort of a reasonable and holy hope, in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love. Amen. Grant us grace to entrust Doug to thy never-failing love. Receive him into the arms of thy mercy, and remember him according to the favor which thou bearest unto thy people. Grant us, with all who have died in the hope of the resurrection, to have our consummation and bliss in thy eternal and everlasting glory, and with the Blessed Virgin Mary and all the saints to receive the crown of life which thou dost promise to all who share in the victory of thy Son Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Let us stand and join in singing hymn number 208. bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.